While Christmas might be over, the holiday season is still in full swing. Families are gathering, parties are happening, and New Year's is right around the corner. And while we have all of our own holiday traditions, it's worth remembering that presidents aren't immune from all the holiday fun either.
Thanks to the nature of their job, our commanders-in-chief celebrate the holidays in very unique ways. Some presidential holiday traditions have grown over time, while others have been particular to the individual office holders. Today, we thought we'd step back from our own celebrations to take a peek into this unique slice of presidential life.
Kenneth C. Davis joins us now. He's an historian and the author of Don't Know Much About History and other books in the Don't Know Much About series. His latest book is More Deadly Than War, The Hidden History of the Spanish Flu and the First World War. Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon. A great pleasure to be with you, and happy second day of Christmas, I kind of think. There's a debate over this.
Is that like second cousins? Nobody's quite sure, or once removed, which is which?
Sort of like that. Obviously, I'm referring to the 12 days of Christmas, my least favorite Christmas carol. I don't know about you, but a lot of people wonder if it starts, you know, many people thought it's the 12 days leading up to Christmas, but it's actually the 12 days from Christmas to the Epiphany, January 6th.
Right.
And there's a debate over whether it starts on Christmas Day or if the 26th is the first day of Christmas. So I don't know if you should be sending out the turtle dove or the partridge in the pear tree today.
Ken, it is Boxing Day, right?
It is absolutely Boxing Day.
We're
sure about that because we all went back to the stores today with our boxes and of returns of the things. No, Boxing Day refers back to, it may even date as far back as medieval times, and it was essentially the idea that, especially in England, this was the day that the feudal peasants got a gift for Christmas, that they would get a box from the lords and the ladies, all those lords and ladies dancing. So the idea was that if you were in service, and this certainly continued well into the 18th and 19th century, if you were in service, you worked on Christmas Day, and the day after Christmas was your day off, and that would be the day that the boss, the lords or whoever it was, would give you a box with your Christmas gift, maybe perhaps some money, or something small. So that's the Boxing Day tradition. In Ireland, it's more typically celebrated as Saint Stephen's Day. Saint Stephen being the first saint, and it is his feast day. So that's more typically, some other Catholic countries celebrate St. Stephen's Day. So the day after Christmas has meaning, different meanings to different people all over the world.
So we are a former British colony, and I think of this as a British celebration in Great Britain and in former colonies. It tends to be, Boxing Day tends to be a thing. Why do you think it's never caught on here?
I guess it has to do with the fact that did declare our independence fairly early on and didn't have the same sense of the aristocracy. And that would be the only guess I can come up with for why it didn't catch on. So many American Christmas traditions, by the way, really didn't take hold until well into the 19th century. Also, you have to remember that this was a very, very Puritan country for a very long time. And it was the Puritans who in 1659 banned Christmas. That is correct. Christmas was not allowed to be celebrated in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and you would be fined shillings for any kind of merriment. And that was true in England as well under Cromwell. The Puritans believed that this date of December 25th and all of the festivities that went along with it were a vestige of paganism, had nothing to do with the Bible, and therefore should not be celebrated. So there wasn't really a true official recognition of Christmas in this country for a very long time. It only became a national holiday in 1870 after the Civil War. So it's interesting to think that we think of, oh, this is a Christian country, but the Puritans certainly didn't like Christmas, and they didn't, you know, they were a festive bunch, those people who gave us the Salem witch trials. But it is the fact that so many of the things that we celebrate as Christmas traditions are pre-Christian pagan traditions that got carried over into Christian times, everything from the Christmas tree and the mistletoe to the holly.
Well, Kenneth, we're talking about Christmas, and to that end, what do we know about how some of our early presidents celebrated the holidays?
Well, the first one that comes to mind right off the bat, and since we mentioned the colonies, I should mention the very, very significant Christmas Day in American history was 1776, when George Washington thought it would be a good idea to launch a sneak attack in the middle of the early hours of the night after Christmas, actually, on the Hessians in Trenton, New Jersey. And so it was Christmas night when we see him crossing the Delaware, not in that boat as depicted most, you know, widely, and that's a very much an idealized image of Washington crossing the Delaware. It certainly didn't look anything like that. But it was a Christmas attack. And certainly the Hessians, who are Germans, were probably sleeping and probably had a Tannenbaum, because the Tannenbaum, the fir tree, was really a German tradition. You were saying a lot of we think of a lot of Christmas traditions as English, but the English really get a lot of their Christmas traditions from the Germans, and the Christmas tree is certainly one of them. And so when we think about those sleeping Hessian soldiers on Christmas morning, they were probably sleeping around a Tannenbaum, a Christmas tree. It gives a little different flavor to the story of the Revolution. The first Christmas tree in the White House is William Henry Harrison, who comes along. And this is an indication of how late it was that Christmas really starts to get the official recognition that we would take for granted today. It was not until 1891 that there was a Christmas tree in the White House. And in fact, President Harrison, we don't think of him as a rather jolly fellow in too many ways, but he actually dressed as Santa Claus and performed beside the White House Christmas tree in what was then a library, later the Oval Office, for his grandchildren and their friends. You know, there's not really too much reference to Christmases in the White House before then, and I think that is partially a reflection of this long-held Puritan Protestant ethic about, you know, how to properly celebrate the birth of the Lord.
We're talking with historian Ken Davis right now about the Christmas and holiday traditions in the White House and by the residents of the White House over the years. And Ken, the White House Historical Association has tracked where the Blue Room Christmas trees have been coming from since 1961, and eight of those trees, putting us in third place, have come from Wisconsin. So I'm thinking this is something we should be feeling pretty good about here.
Absolutely, you have great pride of place. I assume none of them was red, but that's a different story. Seems like the red Christmas trees created some controversy this year. I don't know. Everyone likes their Christmas colors as they should be. So another interesting one I've come across is you would think that December of 1941 wouldn't be too festive, you know, we just weeks after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And in fact, it wasn't that it wasn't festive so much as that they were really concerned about Christmas lights in Washington, D.C., right after Pearl Harbor. And Secret Service really wanted FDR not to light the Christmas tree. And I think that FDR ended up kind of getting his own way. So they did have a Christmas tree, but there was a blackout in Washington, D.C. in that time. We forget sometimes, we take for granted what America was like at different times, but blackouts were part of the routine American life in the early months, late months of 1941 and going into 1942. And then rationing took over. But Roosevelt certainly wanted to have a Christmas tree. And he wanted, in fact, I think that Churchill was there as well. Must have been quite a Christmas. Imagine Roosevelt and Churchill gathered together for Christmas in the White House.
Kenneth, what about Christmas cards? If you go to WhiteHouseChristmasCards.com, which has more information you can imagine about what each president wrote in their Christmas cards, what can you tell us about this tradition?
That one, you've got me there. I'm sure the White House Historical Society can fill that in. I think what's kind of interesting with Christmas cards is how they've become, like everything else, politicized in a way. I mean, the politicization of Christmas, this idea of a war on Christmas, has, you know, really been something that came up in the last 10 years or so, I would say, became a conservative talk radio talking point in some respects, that, you know, some presidents were not saying Merry Christmas, they were saying Happy Holidays, which was not the case in most cases, and they still call it the White House Christmas tree. And, you know, this has been part of, you know, a deterioration, I guess, in America's civil discourse, and so we can't even celebrate Christmas properly. But that reminds me of the fact that, speaking of Franklin D. Roosevelt, Roosevelt once had changed the date of Thanksgiving. It was before the war. It was in 1939, I think, and the merchants came to him. The presidential holiday proclamation for Thanksgiving, because it wasn't truly a federal holiday yet in 1939, was scheduled for the last week in November, which is where Lincoln had placed it first in back in 1863. Roosevelt was asked by the merchants of the country to move it up a week to the third week, because otherwise the holiday shopping season would be cut too short, and they were trying to get out of the recession and the depression. So Roosevelt moved it, and the Republicans in Congress howled. They said, "No, you can't do that. This is a tradition." They actually had two Thanksgivings that year, a Republican and a Democratic Thanksgiving. The Democratic one was actually called Franksgiving, in honor of Franklin D. Roosevelt. So we are quite able to argue just about anything in this country, and we always have. We'd like to think that holidays are a little bit, especially holidays like Christmas. More to the point, and obviously it comes up today, is that in recent years, and it started with George W. Bush, really, on Thanksgiving of 2003, making the holiday visit to the troops. I mean, this is a much more recent thing. Certainly, presidents have gone into the field to visit troops many times in many situations in the past. But this holiday one has become a recent tradition. It was remarked until today that the current president had not visited the troops at all, and certainly not at the holidays. And, of course, today the president has apparently gone to Iraq.
We're talking right now with author and historian Ken Davis, and we're looking at how presidents have celebrated holidays in the past.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how presidents spend their holidays? Is there a Washington Christmas or New Year's tradition you're curious about? Have you been to D.C. during the holiday season? And if so, what did you enjoy most about it? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. Author and historian Ken Davis is here with us, and we're talking with him today about presidential holiday traditions and how presidents throughout time have spent this week between Christmas and New Year's.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is there a presidential holiday tradition you're curious about? Do you think it's important for the country to see how a president celebrates the holidays? And if so, what would you like to see? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ann in Green Bay. Hello, Ann. Welcome to Central Time.
Hello. I think this is all very fascinating. So I'm wondering if you have written a book or if you would consider writing a book about the history of Christmas and all the presidents involved from that point on.
I have not considered a book about the presidents and Christmas. I have written a book called Don't Know Much About the American Presidents, which goes through every one of the 44 up until through Obama. It was published a couple of years ago. But their connections to Christmas is becomes a little bit more seasonal, except if there's an unusual one like this or a piece of trivia like Harrison's first tree. Just on presidents and holidays, much more important from the very beginning, particularly in the White House, was New Year's. John Adams was, of course, the first president in the White House in 1800. In December 1800, the White House was brand new. It wasn't even really finished. But he inaugurated what became an annual tradition of inviting the public in on New Year's Day. It's kind of interesting to think that for a very long time, more than a century, the public was invited basically to come to the White House, and the president would stand there and greet people for sometimes hours. And it's a kind of interesting idea to think of Adams or Thomas Jefferson, who continued the tradition in 1802, standing there in his suit and welcoming people to the White House. A very different picture than we have of presidents in marble.
Thanks for that call, Jane. And you mentioned New Year's. Now, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. Ken, have we ever had a president tell us publicly what they were planning on doing in the new year that wasn't, you know, just political grandstanding?
Well, mostly it's political grandstanding. I can't think of a specific, New Year's type resolution, but usually resolutions from presidents are called campaign promises, and we know how often they can be kept or not. Look, when I think about, you know, this season, particularly at this time of year, and a president visiting the troops, I think back particularly for 1968, 50 years ago, Christmas seemed to be bringing some hopes and thoughts of a truce, and then the truce exploded into the Tet Offensive in February of 1968. So any of these holidays always brings a sort of mixed blessing with it. And we hope and wish that all the troops would be home soon, of course, and they are not. And there are, we have to remember in this midst of this season of light and hope and peace and joy, that there are men and women all over the world right now wearing the uniform who are putting their lives on the line for us.
A caller had phoned in earlier to ask about the celebration of Kwanzaa. Has that ever been discussed?
By a president, I believe that it's now semi-officially celebrated in the way that all holidays, in a sense, are celebrated at the White House. I'm sure that under the Obamas, it certainly got a little bit more attention than it's getting currently. But, Kwanzaa is still a fairly young holiday in mm-hmm. this country. It's only been emerging in the past decade or so in a bigger and some ways more commercial way. And I don't think that most people still honestly recognize what the traditions mean. I've written about it in one of my books, Don't Know Much About Mythology, that this is a holiday that recognizes many of the ancient traditions of Africa. And the interesting thing about it is it is a candle lighting ceremony at the heart of Kwanzaa. And so many of the ceremonies at this time of year involve light and candles. You think of Hanukkah, the miracle of the lights, the lighting of the candles. We think, of course, of Christmas as being a holiday of light. And a lot of that is tied into the fact that most of these celebrations relate somehow back to the solstice, which we just celebrated, which was very significant in the dating of Christmas, that in ancient cultures, in ancient civilizations, the fact that the days were going to start get longer and that the sun was coming back to life in a sense, was, you know, the sense of a new year. And that's why so many of the traditions around this time of year are traditions that involve lighting candles, whether it's the Kwanzaa candles or the Yule log. All of them mean light is coming back into the world.
Ken, we have just a couple minutes left, and I wanted to ask, of all these presidential holiday celebrations and traditions, which is the one that you wish, boy, I wish I got an invitation to the White House for that one?
You know, I think probably being at the White House for Roosevelt and Churchill might have been an interesting moment. They had an extraordinary relationship. I mentioned that they do get together, and Churchill actually comes to the White House secretly in December of 1941. Of course, everything had to be done in secret at that time. Great Britain, of course, was at war already, and the United States had just entered the war. So Churchill arrives under cover of night, essentially. But the notion of Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill sipping brandies around the Christmas tree would probably have been a really interesting one to sit in on.
We had a caller who is on hold, and because of time, we can't take it, but she had asked, how many presidents attend a religious ceremony during the holidays?
Well, traditionally, almost all of them have, and it's unusual for them not to, certainly in recent times. And, of course, until recent times, most presidents tended to go to the Episcopal Church very near the White House. That was always thought to be the church of presidents. Different presidents have celebrated and practiced their religions differently, of course, especially in recent years.
Well, Ken, thanks so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, and enjoy the next 11 or 12 days, depending on how you count them.
Kenneth Davis is a historian and the author of Don't Know Much About History and other books in the Don't Know Much About series. His latest book is More Deadly Than War, The Hidden History of the Spanish Flu and the First World War. He joined us today to talk about presidential holiday traditions.